El Niños were first identified by scientists in the 19th century. They were identified as a result of startling fluctuations in the amount of guano produced by seabirds off the Peruvian coast. Now, it may be news to you to learn that Peruvian bird fertilizer is the finest nitrogen-rich natural fertilizer in the world. And during the 19th century, the Peruvian government exported millions of dollars worth of this lightweight, very good fertilizer, very smelly fertilizer, to North America and especially to Europe. But there were years when the seabirds vanished and there was no guano production. And for years, the scientists wondered why. And then, in the 1890s, they finally got round to asking the local fishermen. And the local fishermen looked at us as if they're crazy and said, "Ah, it's El Niño, the Christmas child." And they pointed out that somewhere around every 7 years, and the interval, as you know, is variable, a countercurrent, a warm one from the tropics, came down, bringing alien fish, stopped the upwelling so there were no anchovies, and the seabirds followed the anchovies further south into Chile. And then, after a year or so, the pattern reversed back to normal. The result was a decimation, temporarily, of the coastal fisheries. And people argued that Moseley's hypothesis was wrong because of these fluctuations. But in the long term, I think you can counter by saying that the fishery produced such enormous surpluses that probably some of the impact of El Niño's was mitigated. Also, that isn't to say there were no fish in the ocean, and they certainly caught other species. So I believe that Moseley's hypothesis has merit, especially since farming communities in the highlands needed not only fish meal, but also seaweed and salt to complement their carbohydrate diet to combat such conditions as goiter. And the result was there was this interdependence between coastal and highland communities. And, for example, you couldn't grow a root potato, a crop like the potato, which is the Andean crop in the highlands, in the lowlands. So there was this constant interaction right through history between highlands and lowlands. Now, this focus on marine resources, goes the Foundation's argument, led to the formation of large, densely concentrated populations in major river valleys. The leaders of these communities and these populations were able, because of the food surpluses, to organize large labor forces to build elaborate ceremonial centers using adobe brick. And as crops began to be cultivated on the coast, the same labor forces were also used to create the irrigation works needed to allow intensive cultivation of the fertile river valley soils. So, Moseley argued, the combination of a maritime diet, maize agriculture, and maize, remember that maize was introduced here about 1800 BC or so, and trade provided impetus for major changes in coastal society. And this was the moment all these factors came together, so that after 1800 BC, a series of competing kingdoms developed along the north and central coast of Peru, concentrated on those river valleys where irrigation was possible. In these valleys, sedentary permanent villages housed several hundred people each and were home to skilled weavers, people who were weaving cotton grown in these low-lying, warm valleys, the start of a long and flamboyant Andean cultural tradition. And in fact, the designs on textiles provided a really major way of communicating basic iconographies of civilization.